Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Alien Hunger, a quick start adventure for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1991's Alien Hunger, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Today we're discussing page 57 of Alien Hunger. This is the profile of Vampire Drama Club member Teresa Harper. She's the one who is a Gangrel, a world-class chemist, yet somehow working as a high school chemistry teacher in Denver. She's super intelligent. I theorize in the simulation theory of Alien Hunger that she is the GM. There's an illustration of her on this page. You can check it out on patreon.com/megadumbcast, a free post for everyone, so that you can see her very late 80s, early 90s look, and also the fact that she's got cheekbones you could fucking cut glass with. There's the dumbest thing on this page somewhere, and we'll kind of get to it at the end, but it doesn't have a ton to do with Teresa herself, so I want to give her her episode, because we haven't talked a lot about Teresa during this season. I want to give her this day, and then at the end, we'll talk about the dumbest thing. So, first thing about Teresa, right out of the gate, quote, "Ever since junior high, Teresa, Terry to her friends, has never had problems getting people to like her." So, trait number one, likable, makes friends easily. It says since junior high. I don't know what was going on before junior high. Maybe she was the pariah of her middle school and then she turned it around over the summer. We don't know. Lost to history. But ever since junior high, she's good at making friends. Thing number two about Teresa. This seems to be her main thing as envisioned by the creators of this adventure, because this is her function in the computer consulting company that she runs. It says here that she deals with the clients, which does lead me to question exactly what Flash, who's in charge of sales, is doing here, since he has no relevant skills except dealing with people. And it seems like Teresa specializes in that, but whatever, we'll talk about that when we get to Flash. Maybe more importantly, Teresa makes up for the deficiencies of the other member of the team, the one who actually knows something about computers, engineer Brian Jurgen. Brian Jurgen appears to be your classic, like, good with computers, bad with people guy. So the division of labor in this computer consulting firm is Brian does the computers, Teresa does the consulting, and Flash used to play football. As we discussed briefly before, Prester scouted Teresa and Flash when they went into Emerson's bank to get a loan. Prester approached them in the parking lot and assured them that they would get the loan. I don't know if that's Prester's doing. I don't know if he pulled strings for some reason. Maybe thinking that if he was going to have them as his vampire allies, then it would be beneficial to him for them to run this computer firm. Although it says here that almost certainly the firm is going to collapse because it can't stay open if Teresa loses her day job, which she will when she's a vampire. And that does seem foreseeable that you would lose your job as a high school teacher if you can no longer go out in the sunlight. Seems like the kind of thing a bright guy like Louis Pasteur would consider, but whatever. Prester's reasons for embracing who he embraces are inscrutable, as we will discuss later. Terry spends most of her time on her two jobs. The people she knows are mainly business associates and other teachers. Her free time has to be spent on lesson prep. In the section entitled Your Role, which each of these pregens have to explain to the player, like, this is your function in the group, this is where you fit in, which I actually really like as a thing to include on a pregen character. It says she's sort of like the second stringer for everything. She can just do whatever, which makes sense. You know, she's got some decent combat ability with her claws that do aggravated damage. Like, she's not a great fighter, but she's one of the characters who could fight. She can also kind of be a leader. She also has some contacts, good intelligence, good social skills. So she's just sort of an all-arounder. It says here she can serve as a mediator. So oftentimes the group will tend to go in her direction just because she can sort of like make a joke that breaks the tension. And then if there's any kind of conflict, sort of like help mediate the situation and come to a consensus about something, as opposed to Monica, who's more of a take charge type. At the end of the entry, we get some notes on Terry's abilities, sort of explaining the dots that are on her character sheet. It specifies that she is fluent in French. That's the second language that she knows. Her contacts are high-tech business contacts, as well as representatives on Denver's school board. And this brings us to the dumbest thing on this page. Overall, I like Terry. But Terry is an example of a pervasive issue in this book, which is a serious mismatch between who the protagonists are in this story and what this story is about. Because, like, I can think of maybe two minor uses of school board contacts potentially in this story. If you wanted to, like, threaten or spy on Columbo through Columbo's child, then I guess maybe. I mean, the school board is dealing with higher level issues in the school system. I don't think they're typically in the business of like summoning individual children to the school board chambers to be interrogated or whatever. But, you know, theoretically, there's some way you could use that. You know, it's a distant connection. Or you could just, I mean, you could use influence on the school board to try to keep Teresa's job for longer, like influence them to give her a sabbatical so that she can keep her job even though she can't go in for a little while. But other than that, I mean, those are a stretch. And there's just nothing else in this like very small, very sparse adventure where I can imagine you would use those school board contacts. And bear in mind that Teresa is a world-class chemist. You didn't have to make her a high school teacher. And you certainly didn't have to put her background dots into school board contacts in an adventure where that almost can't come up. Basically, the only useful thing she could do with her school board contacts that she gets from being a high school teacher is to manipulate the school board into helping her keep her job as a high school teacher, even though she can no longer go to her job as a high school teacher. So this raises the question, why make her a high school teacher? Meanwhile, we got Brian Jurgen over here, sitting on his hands, a totally null NPC. Like, he's mentioned in Teresa's entry, but he's not an ally, he's not a contact, he's not statted up, he's never mentioned anywhere else. This guy is a socially awkward but skilled software engineer. He's the computer expert in this computer consulting firm that you gave Teresa. You could have put Brian in this adventure, because he's a computer specialist, and you know what is present in and useful in this adventure? Computers. You got to do a bunch of information gathering and contacting people in 1991 without being able to go out in the daytime. You got to get access to information you're not supposed to have at a number of points. You could absolutely use a computer guy in this adventure, but Brian is nowhere to be found. And it's not just Teresa's fairly useless school board connections in the exclusion of Brian Jurgens. It's all over this book. Don Alonzo, undoubtedly one of the most important vampires in Denver, established in like one or two paragraphs in Prince Ed's entry and nowhere else. No information about the most or second most important vampire in the city who would definitely be involved in this plot, but just isn't. Just like he exists, but he's not here. Like he's on a vampire ski trip or something, because otherwise it makes no sense that we don't see him around. But we do get a bunch of characters, as we went over and over in the character section, who we don't need. Marcus's girlfriend, Jennifer, is the person who actually knows Emerson well, and he's sort of the center of the player character group. But we don't really get Jennifer. We get Marcus, who runs an anime figurine import company, which I feel like can't possibly come into play. What the fuck are you going to use your anime contacts for in this adventure? He's also connected to the neo-pagan and psychic phenomena community, both in Denver and at the Boulder Psychic Fair, where he met his girlfriend, who is super into all this New Age stuff, none of which comes into play. Don't know the girlfriend, can't use these connections for anything, they're never developed. Like, who are these people? You're leaving a whole subculture of, like, flaky neo-pagans who might know something of the truth on the table here completely. Never described and have nothing to do with the adventure. The other thing Marcus is into, along with a bunch of other characters, is community theater. This is a thing that binds so much of the group and the NPCs together. It never comes up, and I don't see how it could. There's a whole group of community theater folks who are the primary way that some of these characters know each other, and they're just not brought up. I don't see how they could ever be used in this adventure. You know who's not involved in the community theater scene very much? Teresa and Flash, who like to spend their time at various bars and clubs, but not the bars and clubs that are featured in this adventure, which they're basically established not to be familiar with. So we're going to spend our time at the Broad Street and 24th Diocese, which are two places you guys don't know anything about. You're familiar with other clubs and bars that aren't in this adventure, where there's nothing to do, and if you try to go there, other vampires will probably chase you off. Imagine if one of these characters were a regular at the Broad Street and knew these people, but like didn't know that some of them were vampires before. Imagine if there were some kind of like vampire guru or huckster or actual occultist involved in the local neo-pagan community. And so having an in with the neo-pagan community connects to them. Imagine if there were a vampire making some sinister use of Denver's schools, and then Teresa could find out about that, and because she's embedded in the system, would have some ability to interact with it because she knows people on the school board. Or if there was an important NPC who was a teenager and had some kind of weird thing happening with them at school, and so being able to deal with the school board gives you some kind of ability to investigate what's happening at that school. What if there were one goddamn scene or even one goddamn mention of how this continually name-dropped community theater community could possibly come into play in this adventure? I'm not asking for like a subplot where we're also putting on a play. I'm not asking for a set piece where we like have to go have a stealth fight with a vampire assassin backstage at a community theater production. I'm just saying if there were even one relevant thing in this adventure that we might be able to ask our community theater friends about so that it justifies the fact that this adventure spends so much goddamn time talking about how everyone loves community theater. The dumbest thing in this page is, as exemplified by the school board contacts, there are numerous characters mentioned in this book who by all rights should be here and should be involved in this plot and have skills that would be useful to this plot who are not present. And instead we get the pregens, who seem like pretty nice folks for abominations, but really don't have any business being in this story because who they are and who they know and what they're involved in just can't come into play in the story as presented. I mean, I say can't. Look, if as a storyteller, you devote yourself to embellishing this story so that Marcus's anime figurine import contacts play a vital role, like, God bless you for that. You're doing the Lord's work with Alien Hunger, but that's you. That is to your credit. The author of this adventure should be ashamed of making you work so hard by giving you a batch of pregens with connections to a computer consulting firm, the local school board, the local club scene, community theater, the thriving neo-pagan community, an anime figurine import company, Denver High Society, and then giving you an adventure that takes place in a bar you've never been to, a club you've never been to, and four private residences, where none of those subcultures or business or interests or skills come into play. Once again, nothing wrong with Teresa. It's not her fault that there is almost no overlap between interesting things about her and things that will come up in this story. Maybe you'll object that given who we need Teresa to be and what we've established about her, there just like weren't enough points in character creation to give her any more relevant abilities or backgrounds or whatever. To test that hypothesis, join me next time for Teresa's character sheet on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Social media was never healthy and is now dying, so if you want to contact me, you can email me. I am megadumbcast@gmail.com. This season's theme song is Suck City by Black Math, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/black_math. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.